Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. As we approach Scripture, let's do so in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, open us to your word this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ, who is your living word. And may this word find root in our hearts, and our hearts find activity in your world, for we ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ. And the people of God together say, Amen. This morning you have the story in Scripture about what happens, why good people are hurt. In the first case, Pilate killed some Galileans, and is that like the people who were killed by the falling of that tower in Siloam? And Jesus said, no, but I tell you, he says, repent. And then he tells this story. So our scripture, I'm picking up on the second half of what's printed in your bulletin and on the slide. It should begin on verse 6. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, see here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? The gardener replied, sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every now and then somebody asks me why we gather at that font and say a prayer of confession, why we say it every single week. They say to me, you know, I'm not guilty of most of that stuff. Is that prayer just said every week to make me feel bad? Those are good questions. And by way of an answer, consider these observations. We pause near the beginning of each service of worship to gather our prayers of confession, to remind ourselves that we are not God. God is God. And here we say, God, I've maybe acted like you all week long. I think I know what's best for me in the world. I think my opinion is so important. But I pause to say that you are God and I am not God. This is a moment of prayer where we adjust, where we think about our compass. Am I heading in the right direction? It's a symbolic turning to God. Repenting is what Jesus calls it. This turning to God is repenting. It's a way of emptying ourselves humbly before God. It's a way of getting ourselves out of the way as we continue worship. There's not a musician in the world who, as he or she takes the stage, is tuning his or her guitar. And we all know that before we sit down for grandma's big meal, we wash our hands. And so at the beginning of worship, we figuratively wash our hands of all the things that distract us from God. All the ways our ego gets in the way of God. All of the ways our politics and our religion and the way we think it ought to be, how all of that can get in the way of God. And so we rightly pray. God, forgive me for the ways I've let you and myself down. We say, God, forgive me for the ways I let other stuff get in the way of my right relationship with you and others. Forgive me for my pride, which tricks me into thinking that I am the master of my universe. At the waters of the font, we know that's not true. My anger often blurs my vision, O God. Forgive me and heal me of this anger. Forgive me for the grudges I insist on holding on to, those grudges that disrupt my relationship with you and that trouble my relationship with other people. Oh God, sometimes I'm apathetic about other people's pain. Suffering around the world is so far away. Forgive me, oh God, for that selfishness. I know it's not all about me, O God, but sometimes I forget. For my greed, my sexism, my racism, my ageism, my idolatry, my ableism, my insisting on my own way, O God, forgive me. Help me take a step back. Help me to kneel down. Help me to empty myself of myself so that I might find you most wholly and completely. Holy God. You know, God is not some hateful old man in heaven eager to crush us for the wrong things we do. God loves us, and like a good parent, God wants us to be our best selves. We can't be our best selves if we insist on clinging to our worst selves. We can't step into new ways unless we let go of old ways. And we can't fix what's broken until we name it. So we repent. We confess. We turn to God. We ask, God, I think I've been doing really good this week, but you know, I'm a little off balance maybe. My true north may be a little off. It's at the font that we ask God, redirect us, guide our steps, Holy God. Forgive us for the things that hold us back. We repent, we confess, we admit how often we are stuck on ourselves. We admit that we see from a narrow point of view, and that's not a sin. Having blinders, that's not a sin. But what is a sin is thinking that this view is the only view. There's more of the world to see, and not turning and looking. That's where we get into trouble. So we see a wider view, a more generous view of our neighbor. These examples of brokenness in our lives, they get in our way. In confession, we ask God to clear the way of those things that distract us from loving and from serving both God and neighbor with joy. Frederick Buechner puts it this way: to confess your sins before God is not to tell God anything that God doesn't already know. Until you confess your sins, however, they are the abyss between you. When you confess your sins, they become the Golden Gate Bridge. Today we find this parable in Luke's gospel. A man plants a fig tree in his garden. Apparently he takes care of it. The gardener does a good job. And yet the fig tree does not bear fruit. So he says, let's just chop it down. Let's dig it up and let's plant something in its place that will be productive. And the gardener says, and it's hard to read about the gardener without thinking about God. But the gardener says, Let's give it a little more time. Let's give it some water. Let's put more manure on it. I'll aerate. I'll take really good care of it this year. And next year we'll see how it's doing. Let's give it a little more time for now, though. Jesus wants life, productivity, growth for all of his followers. He wants them to have this life abundantly. And to have this life means first and always, always, always to turn to God. This is where we find this life, in relationship with God and thereby in right relationship with one another. This turning, this repentance, and Jesus is awfully concerned about it. Repent, repent, repent. This turning is repentance. This reorienting ourselves is repentance. This asking of God to come and guide our steps, O God. This emptying ourselves of ourselves is a way of repenting, a way of turning towards God, asking God to take over and to lead. We do it each week at our prayer of confession, and we affirm that we rely on God, and we rely on God's grace alone. We don't rely on ourselves. We don't rely on our president. We don't rely on our Supreme Court. We don't rely on our church, though we love our church. We don't rely on our pastor, though he's pretty close to being perfect. We don't rely on our pastor. We don't rely on our mom. We don't rely on our dad. We don't rely on popular opinion. We gather here and we say, oh God, we rely on you alone. And forgive us for those times and those ways, subtle and not so subtle, that we rely on ourselves and other things more than we rely on you. Forgive us for the ways we don't trust. Forgive us for the ways we take your good and distort it and make it our idol. To repent is to renew our attention, not on our sin, not on our brokenness, not on our waywardness. It's a way of renewing our attention on God, who is able to take our confession and our brokenness and make us whole. Jesus reminds us in this parable that God the gardener is patient with us, always giving us the love we need, the time we need, the water we need, the nurture we need. When we turn to God, God is there. When we ask God to help, God helps. When we apologize, God forgives. In your mercy, we say, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be to the glory of your holy name. Our prayer of confession this morning was beautiful, and Sandy's introduction to it was lovely as well. This is a prayer written by Willard Sperry, who is in the Harvard Department of Theology for the second half of his life, early and through the middle part of the 20th century. Listen to this prayer and pray it if you'd like. O God, forgive our wanton waste of the wealth of the soil and sea and air. Forgive our desecration of natural beauty. Forgive our heedlessness of those who shall come after us. Forgive our undue love of money. Forgive our contempt for small things and our worship of what is big. Forgive our neglect of struggling peoples, for such wrongs to our natural and human heritage, and for many things left undone. Forgive us, O God. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.